So this week the parasha is Va'ata Tetzaveh. God says to Moshe, even though Moshe's name is not mentioned, now he says, I want you to command the children of Israel, V'yikhoe lecho, they should take to you Shemen Zayis Zoch, pure, very pure olive oil, Kosis, that has been pounded, Lamo'or, for the menorah to shine, Lahalois Neotomid, to raise an everlasting light. So the Gemara asks, Gemara in Shabbos says, V'chi la'oira hu tzorich? Why does God need light? Why does God command us to light the menorah? The whole 40 years that the Jewish people were going in the wilderness, we had the pillar of fire at night. God needs our menorah. So the Tosfos there, the medieval scholars, they ask on the question that the Gemara is asking, it's only 40 years that we went in the wilderness that we have the light of God. We have the light of God all the time. The sun and the moon is something that God made. Why does the Gemara ask, why do we need the menorah in the temple? We had for 40 years, we had the pillar of fire at night that kept us alight. So, I mean, it's a good question, but the question is much bigger. The question is all light, the sun and the moon. Everything comes from God. Why does God command us to light the menorah? That would have made more sense. What's the question particularly about the 40 years in the wilderness? So, the Tiferes Yosef answers using teaching the Ishbitz of Torah. What does it mean light and what does it mean dark? So to be in the light means to know that God doesn't need your light. That the fact that the world seems to need us, that without us, the glory of God is missing. That itself is being in the dark. To break through to the light means to become aware, God doesn't need me. The fact that God has set up a world in which it looks as though God needs my goodness, and God, you know, and that when I do something bad, I destroy something in the world, and I, you know, and I do something, I can do a chilul Hashem, you know, to profane the name of God and so forth. These concepts, they're an illusion. Because the truth is, I can't make God great and I can't make God small. God is beyond anything that I could do. So the fact that I think, and the fact that the world is set up in such a way that it looks as though when I do good, I do something for the greater glory of God, and when I do bad, I do the opposite, that is an illusion. That is to be in the dark. And the Tiferes Yosef says an amazing thing. He says, when we live in the world, in a civilized world, there are civilized people and uncivilized people. So if I look and I see a wicked person do some terrible, savage thing, if I see a pagan desecrating the name of God, then I say to myself, all right, Heshi, no, it's up to you to do something for the glory of God, to repair the world, to fix. So the Tiferes Yosef says, then if I think that way, I've put myself into the illusion that somehow God needs me to do good, because those bad people, they're doing something against God. I'm doing something for God. Thinking that is to exacerbate the illusion to make everything worse. What I'm doing is I'm making more darkness when I think like that. Because the truth is, God is in charge of the world. If God is in charge of the world, then he's just as much in charge of those wicked people as he's in charge of me. So me thinking that I somehow, with my actions and my ego and my thinking and my kavanah, my intention, that I can do something better for God than those people are doing when they're doing something wicked, then I'm still in the illusion. What's the meaning of wilderness? We were 40 years in the wilderness where there was no civilization, and we ourselves were constantly aware of the uncivilized in us. That's the meaning of being in the wilderness. We spent, all the Jewish people, men and women and children, we spent 40 years being aware of the midbar, being aware of the wilderness which is inside each of ourselves. The Torah tells us in Deuteronomy, Zchoras al tishkach, remember and don't forget, Eis asher hiktzavto es Hashem lekecha b'midbar, that which you did to annoy God in the wilderness. So the Ishbitzer asks, how do I keep that commandment? The whole Torah is eternal. It's for everybody, all the time. So how do I remember what I did in the wilderness? I mean, how could that be an eternal commandment to remember something happened 3,500 years ago? Well, I'm supposed to pretend that I was there. So he says, the midbar, the wilderness, refers to that part of us which is wild. And I have to every day remember what I was like yesterday and how ungoverned and ungovernable I was yesterday. And so today I need to think of myself as a completely different person than I was yesterday. That's the meaning of being in civilization, is not to look at the other person, not to look at another person and say, oh, look how uncivilized he is being, look how he's desecrating the name of God. But to look at myself and say, you know what, yesterday I was such a wilde chai, I was so wild, I was a wild animal yesterday. Look how I desecrated the name of God yesterday. Today, I'm going to try and be civilized. Today, I'm going to pretend at least that I live not in the wilderness, but in a city. So, when the Torah tells me, remember and don't forget how you annoyed God in the wilderness, that's about me, how I was. And so, I'm trying to be different. But really, darkness is if I think that my righteousness is somehow a favor to God or somehow does something for God, that somehow that is better or more useful to God than the wickedness of that other wicked person, then all I'm doing is creating darkness. So what it means to be living in the light means that I've broken through to that place where I can see that God is in charge of the world and he's in charge of me. The fact is, when I do something wrong, the thing that I do wrong is its own punishment. It's a horrible feeling to realize, oi, I hurt this person. Oi, I took something and I shouldn't have taken it. But not, oh, if I do God a favor, you know, then I won't sin, you know, or somehow that's something that I'm doing is affecting God, then I'm looking at it the wrong way. I have to see that God has given me the opportunity to have these feelings. Oi, what did I just do? That feeling is the feeling of teshuvah. That's the meaning of teshuvah. That's the meaning of repentance and regret and awareness. Because I can go in that one moment, that I realize what I've just done and what I'm doing and how wrong what it is that I'm doing is. In that moment, I can transcend the world from the darkest place to the lightest place. In that moment, when I realize what I just did, and I say to myself, oi, that really, really, that hurts me, hurts my soul, hurts the other person, it hurts the world. In that moment, I say to myself, "This, who am I? How do I come to be doing this?" It's not that God is not in charge of the world. God is just as in charge of the world. If I'm a tzaddik, if I'm a rosh, if I'm a wicked person or a saint, that makes no difference. My mitzvah and my avera, my good deed or my bad deed, doesn't affect God in any way whatsoever. God made the world in such a way that I am capable of having these feelings, that I am capable of being self-aware in such a way, and that doesn't alter the fact that if I was wicked and just did a murder or a mass murder, if I was Bashar Assad in Syria, he's no less a person who's doing the will of God than me. We're sitting here and we're learning Torah, so how come we're both doing the will of God? God is in charge of the world. So if I just did something wrong and I just have this feeling of regret and thinking to myself, you know, Hashi, you don't want to do that again. You don't want to feel this feeling anymore. That this is a gift from God to me. As soon as I realize that this is a gift from God to me, that the truth is, I could be that person there in Syria doing those horrible things, right? And he's not thinking to himself, oi, I just did something. That's terrible. He's not thinking. So if I'm thinking that, then I'm so close to God. God is tapping me on the shoulder and saying, Herschel, be aware of just this tiny little thing, this thought that you had, this word that you said, this deed that you just, what was the kavana when you ate this thing? Did you make a proper bracha? Did you daven? The fact that I can be in this moment of awareness is I'm breaking through into that place without thinking, without creating more darkness in the sense of thinking that I have autonomy and I can do and I'm great and I'm grand and I can do a mitzvah and I... No. If I could just stay in the awareness that this feeling, this emotion that I have of regret, this emotion of teshuvah... See... The Gemara the Medrash says... Adam, when he met Cain, Cain had just killed his brother. Right? So when it was all over and God had dealt with Cain, so Adam met him and he says, Manasseh bedinach, what happened to you in the court? Right? What happened in your judgment? So he said, Osisi teshuva, I've done tshuva, I've repented. Venis pasarti, and I've come to a compromise, an arrangement with God. So Adam Arishan says, "Kach goda koicha tshuva, this is so great, is the power of tshuva. I didn't know, right? Because when God confronts Adam and he says, why did you eat from the tree of knowledge? He says, oh, he blamed it on Chava, right? He blamed it on his wife. He didn't realize that if he'd have said, yeah, oi, I did a terrible thing. Oi, I'm so sorry. That he could have changed history at that moment, right? So when he realized, when Cain said to God, oi, my sin is too great to bear, immediately half his punishment was reduced. So when he told his father, you know, that my punishment was reduced because I made a confession. So Adam HaRishon says, Mizmor Shir LeYom HaShabbos, and he says the psalm in praise of the Shabbos, which begins, Mizmor Shir LeYom HaShabbos, Toiv LaHoidois LaShem. It's good to confess to God. Because Adam saw in that moment that in the moment of confession, you can go from this incredible place of having destroyed yourself and destroyed the world and you know, kind of just done a murder. And he's gone to this place of being in touch with God just by making a confession. So the word, the emotion, the realization that what we've done is not a good thing, that can break through all the worlds. So what does it mean to be stuck? To be stuck is if I think to myself that I could do anything outside the will of God. And this is the Ishbitz Torah that we've been learning again and again all these years. If I think of myself as being autonomous, if I think of myself as having the power to act, what I'm really saying is that I don't think God is in charge of me. How could I even think of such a thing, that God is not in charge of me? See, the world that we live in, we like to maintain an illusion that we have free will, which is boils down to saying God's not in charge. But if I stop a moment and I say to myself, God is in charge of the world, so everything that's happening is happening. And you know something? Mr. Assad of Syria, the president there, just like all the wicked people in the world, they're just as much agents of God as the storm, the thunder, the lightning, the sea, the ocean, the tsunami. And I'm also an agent of God, because I'm also doing what God wants. But God has given me an ability to feel, to have awareness of what I've done. And that's the only difference. That's the only difference, that I have this ability to look at what I'm doing, which is also a gift. Where does this gift come from? So that's why Adam HaRishon, when he realizes, you know, what one word of regret and confession could do, he says, Mizmor Shir LeYom HaShabbos. This is the meaning of the great light. So let's have a look at Bereishis. The Torah tells us, in the beginning God created heaven and earth. The earth was void in chaos. And there was darkness on the face of the abyss. And the Spirit of God hovered over the waters. So the question is, the Ishbitz asks, what does it mean, v'choshech al pnei tohim? There was darkness. How could there be darkness? If there's no creation yet, if nothing is being created, what concept is there of darkness? How could there be dark? For God, there's no darkness. It's a silly concept to attribute to God some kind of a darkness. And if there's no creation, there's nothing, there's no earth, there's no sky, there's no anything, then why does the Torah tell us that there's choshech, that there's darkness? So the Ishbitz says that before the creation of the world, God has a reason for creating. The reason for creating the world is so that you and I, we can, through our toil, through our effort, through our energy, through our intention, we can do things that God can then say, you know what? you did this, you put effort into this, you really tried to do this, I'm going to pay you, I'm going to do midah keneged midah, I'm going to give you measure for measure, I'm going to show you the reward for your actions. And the truth is, God can see in advance. As we've just said, God is in charge of the world. If God created us, then, and for this purpose, lehetiv, to do good, then there is no creature in the world that got created for doing for bad. No creature in the world was created so that it could, you know, like in Jeopardy, you know, so they could get double whammied. No creature could have been created by God for that purpose, because God is good. The light that was before creation, God's light, that is darkness when we look at it from where we stand. The light that is before creation is impenetrable to us after, who are created. Because you and I live in a world where we are capable of believing that we could do something against the will of God. What could be darker than that? When we're alive and we feel free to act all the time, we're telling ourselves, oi, I could do this, I could do that. This is what God wants me to do, this is what God doesn't want me to do. That thought, that we're able to think like that, means that we've lost touch with the original meaning of creation, which is that God wants the best for us, that God wants us to achieve something that we are then going to be given a reward for. Every creature that was created for that purpose. And yet, we are able to live our life without once thinking that. And there are some people who go through their whole life thinking that they're created for bad. So that means that the original thought which was there before creation, which is really the light, looks to us like darkness. That's the meaning of v'choshech al pnei tahoim, and there was darkness on the face of the abyss. It's really light, and yet we stand here looking back at it and we think it's darkness. We think, oi, I was created for a bad purpose. So the darkness that the Torah tells us is really a clue to how we in the world think. And so the Ari begins his commentary on the Torah, saying that the Torah only exists in Bria, in the world of Bria, of creation, because in the world that of ideas, of archetypes, there's no Torah there. Because the Torah, when we're talking about the Torah, we're talking about our work. We're talking about our effort to break through and to see who God really is. And so we say Vayihi Or, Vayom Elokim Yihi Or. God said, let there be light. Now we have a rule, we have a teaching, that there are 10 sayings with which the world is created. So the Gemara says, if you count the commands in creation, God said, let there be light, God said, let there be heaven, firmament, God said, let there be, you know, dry land and so forth. There's only 9 of them in the story of creation in Genesis. So the Gemara says, Bereshis Nami Mamar, that the phrase, in the beginning God created heaven and earth, are also a saying. So the question is, who said it? Who said in the beginning God created heaven and earth, that we call it a saying? So over the years, one of the teachings that I feel is like really basic to my understanding of the world and the Torah, is that the first time these words, Bereshis bara Elokim, in the beginning God created heaven and earth, and the earth was chaos and void, and there was darkness. Moshe Rabbeinu, these are the words of Moshe Rabbeinu, because until Moshe Rabbeinu says them and teaches them to us, they only exist in potential. Because God doesn't say them. Because the first words, Vayomer Elokim Yehi Or, God says, let there be light. So what came before really is only in potential until Moshe Rabbeinu, until Moshe our teacher teaches us this phrase, in the beginning God created heaven and earth. But it's also a saying. So one of the teachings, one of the things that we've been learning over the years, is that heaven and earth really depend on Moshe. Moshe has to say the words, in the beginning God created heaven and earth, otherwise they're not going to get said and the earth isn't going to exist. And that's why when the Jewish people, when we claim that the Torah is the blueprint for the universe and that everything depends on the Torah, it's partly because until Moshe brings us the Torah and teaches us this very first verse in Genesis, in the beginning God created, it doesn't get said. So the world is living on borrowed time until Moshe Rabbeinu comes and says that phrase. And in that phrase is, and there was darkness before creation. And we now know that that darkness means that we can look back and we can wonder, was I created for a bad purpose? And it's only because of that darkness, it's only because I wonder, was I created for good or was I created to do bad and be punished? It's only because I wonder that particular darkness that I am also able to think that I could do something against the will of God. These two thoughts go together, they're mirror images of one another. If I knew that I was created for a good purpose, I would know that everything that I do is the will of God. But because there's this existential question that I have in my mind all the time, then I also have the question, am I doing right? Am I doing wrong? And why does God do that? Because He wants me to have that existential question, so that I keep having to break through and say, Master of the universe, why did I just do what I did? Why did I just lift this up and it doesn't belong to me? Why did I just put this in my mouth and I didn't make a bracha? Why did I just turn my heart away? I'm asking myself all the time. And this question breaks through everything. Because as soon as I find myself talking to God, in this moment I find myself talking to God, all my questions are answered. I'm here talking to God. It doesn't matter what it is that I'm saying, whether I'm singing, whether I'm crying, whether I'm having regrets, or whether I'm making promises, if I'm talking to God, I've transcended all the distance. What difference does it make what I did a moment ago? I'm here now talking to God. I've broken through. If I'm talking to God, everything is good. What could be better than this moment? This moment now? Oh, you mean what I did yesterday? It's nothing. I'm here right now. I'm in the presence. If I'm in the presence, then there's no Mesach HaMavdil. There's no curtain dividing me from God. So this is the meaning of this week's Sedra. V'yikhu Elecho, God says to Moshe, tell the Jewish people, V'yikhu Elecho Shemen Zayzach. So the Ishbit, so the Rebbe asks, why doesn't it say they should bring? Why does it say, and they should take? And what's this word, Elecho, to you? Why doesn't it just say, let them give? Ata Tetzaveh, command the Jewish people, V'yitnu, and they should give, Shemen Zayzach, pure olive oil. So the Rebbe says, because it's not about giving olive oil. It's v'yikro elecho. We have to, every person has to get in touch with the Moshe Rabbeinu inside him. That's the Mea Shiloyach from this week's Sedra. Because Shemen Zayis, olive oil represents Chochmeh, represents enlightenment. V'yikro elecho, every Jew has to take to that part of himself which is Moshe, because Moshe is inside every one of us. What does it mean that Moshe is inside every one of us? And this is the chiddush of this Torah. What it means that Moshe is inside each one of us is that each of us says the word Bereshis Bara Lekim, in the beginning God created heaven and earth, and the earth was chaos and void, and there was darkness. Because each of us in our life, in every day, in every minute, we have to deal with this fact that we feel alienated for a moment, and that we say to ourselves, why? What was I created for? That question, what was I created for? That's the alienation, that's the darkness from before creation of the world. What do you mean, what was I created for? It's created because God loves me. Because God wanted to do things for me and help me to make a life in such a way that I would then have a reward at the end of it for the work that I've done, even though God is in charge of the world. God never stopped being in charge of every micron and molecule in the universe. Nothing is happening that's not the will of God, but God wants to do good for me. He wants to do good for you. He wants us at the end of our life, He wants to be able to give us a reward for having endured this life and for having achieved something. And even though God is everything and does everything, nevertheless, because we have to struggle all our life with this question, why am I here and what am I doing and why did I just do this? Therefore God says, you know what? In return for you breaking through, the breakthrough, the enlightenment, in return for you turning to me and saying, Rabbeinu Shlomo, Master of the Universe, please help me move beyond this moment and stay in touch, which is the breakthrough, which is the Or. That's the Chochmah. In order to get there, I have to keep on breaking through my own sense of despair and darkness and why am I here and why did God make me for such a bad purpose. I have to keep on breaking through and say, no, that's silly. Of course God made me for good. God made everybody for good. There is only good. My problem is that I get so caught up in the illusion that I think that there is such a thing as bad. Master of the Universe, in this moment I want to acknowledge that there is only you, and that for sure 100% you made me, you made everybody for a good purpose. And that's really what was going on before creation. And just the way that you set things up, I have the ability to think that I'm autonomous and that I could do bad things, or that I could do, you know, I could make a chilul Hashem or whatever it is. And in that moment, I'm breaking through all the barriers and we're at the creation of the world, and I am a part of Moshe and you're a part of Moshe, and Moshe is a part of us, that we have this Chochmah Mevureres, that we have this really transparent Chochmah. And the transparency to be able to look through every deed and to see inside it that it's me, it's my neshama, it's my soul, I'm still connected to God, that I have these words that I can say out loud, and these words are the Spirit of God that's moving me, and that there never is, there never was, there never can be any kind of barrier between God and us, because we are the expression of God. And that we need to keep on again and again, every minute of the day, just moving through this illusion and stay in the present moment in the awareness of God. And that is the meaning of the Chochmah Vurer. So God says to Moshe, tell the Eden, they have to take this little bit of you which is inside them, and with that they can create this great light, which is Lahalos Ner Tomid, which is to raise this everlasting light which goes forever. And this week, it's the beginning of Adar, and we have Purim coming, and we have this week the Yahrzeit of Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu was born, and he died on the 7th of Adar. So, We know the Ishbitz Torah, the Baal Shem Tov used to say every year when he would come, when we come around to Purim, he would say, Aruma, Aruma, Vadain Leiboa, because Achashverosh commanded Vashti to come wearing her crown, only her crown. So he wanted her to be naked. The Gemara says they were having an argument which women are most beautiful, Persian women or Babylonian women or Median women. And so the Baal Shem Tov would say every year, naked, naked, but she still didn't come. And the Ishbitz, they would learn this Torah. What did the Baal Shem Tov mean? So the Ishbitz says that when God really wants to get with us without clothing, to banish all the darkness, to get rid of all the levushim, all the media with which we connect to God. And so much of how we connect to God is when we're doing mitzvahs, we do commandments, we learn Torah, and we have these words, and then we have regrets for the averis that we've done. And so everything in our interaction with God is really a result of a medium. And there was a time which started in Babylon after the destruction of the first temple where God says, no, I really want to connect with you. I really want to get past the clothing. And so Achashverosh and his court and his palace, everybody wants to get naked. And the Ishbitz says, because we are there in that country and God wants to get naked with us, which is to say that God wants to relate to us and help us relate to him without the media. And so this goy, this menuvel there, he decides he's got to take his clothes off. But really, and this is what the Baal Shem Tov is saying, so how come it's already 3,000 years, it's 2,500 years ago, and God wants to get with us without the clothing, without the medium, and it still hasn't happened. We're still struggling here with these darknesses that we have to break through. So this is the week of Moshe Rabbeinu. This is the birth of Moshe Rabbeinu and the passing of Moshe Rabbeinu, which means that each of us absorbs the Chochmah, this pure, transparent wisdom of Moshe Rabbeinu, which makes us, what does it mean, transparent? It means it makes us transparent to ourselves, that we can look at ourselves and see God in us. I bless you and me that we should have these moments of awareness, how we represent God and how God is speaking through us and acting through us, without levushim, without the clothing, without the medium, that we should be able to see into ourselves, to see straight through ourselves to the divine which is inside us, and then not have to be living lives of regrets, but rather to be able to live in the moment and to say mishenichnas adar marbim besimcha, that as the month of Adar comes in, we increase and we increase, we keep on increasing with joy. Shkoyach.